Today's gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, whose Son, Jesus, is the good shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. What more can we want as a Christian community than to have a good shepherd? Now, the Hebrew scripture is pregnant with conversations and images of sheep and shepherds. And this is very much part of the culture of Jesus. And I'm persuaded that Jesus was familiar with his heritage and familiar with his culture. And as a consequence, when he spoke, he used the kinds of images or what we would call illustrations that the people would understand. Remember, Abraham, the father of the nation, was the keeper of great flocks. Moses was tending the flocks of his father-in-law, Jethro, in Midian. When he was confronted by God to engage in the liberation of his people under the tyrannical rule of Pharaoh as slaves in Goshen in the land of Egypt. Remember, David was a shepherd boy called from the fields to be the king of Israel. The imagery of the shepherd was so imprinted upon the literature of the day. And you are all familiar with the poetic rhythm of Psalm 23. What do we say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I always say, instead of he, the Lord makes me to lie down in green pastures. The Lord leads me beside the still waters. The Lord restores my soul. The Lord leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because the Lord is with me. God's rod and God's staff, they comfort me. God prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you believe that, why don't you say amen? Amen. Yes. The Lord is my shepherd. And as a consequence, another interpreter of that scripture says, I don't need a thing. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't need a thing. Well, I don't know how true that is, because yesterday was my birthday. And someone said to me, oh, you are now 22 years of age. And I said, but my children are in their 30s. So they pushed the number up a little more. They said, oh, you must be 55. And I said, you got it wrong. I am 72. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't need a thing. I don't need to be younger. I just need to be that person, that image God has created. And God did the best job he could do with me. And I give God thanks. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't need a thing. It is said, beloved, that the Lord is my shepherd is written on more tombstones than on human hearts. And I tend to think of it like this. Some of you have seen that ad which says, got milk? That commercial? And I find it rather obscene because it's become a bumper sticker where people say, got God? And I say, no. It is God who has got us. We haven't got God. God has got us. It is God who's got the whole world in his hands. It is because of God that we can talk about a wonderful world. Not because of us, because of God. The God who cares and the God who understands. Yes, the tradition of the shepherd was very much part of the heritage of Jesus. You would recall Jesus' story of a shepherd who had 100 sheep, but one of them went astray, And he left the 99 and went to find the one lost sheep. And again, when Jesus was speaking to a great throng of people, Jesus tells us, or Mark tells us, that he had compassion upon them because they were as sheep without a shepherd. In other words, there was no leadership. There was no protection. And Jesus was there, filled with compassion and filled with love because he cared about God's people, who were indeed his people. In our text for this morning, Jesus speaks of himself as the good shepherd. And I would like for us to briefly explore together what Jesus had in mind when he described himself as the good shepherd. And the first thing I want to say is this. Jesus says, I am for real. I am genuine. I really care. I am the one who was sent to be your shepherd. And there's a text which tells us this, where Jesus in the previous chapter said, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. And then these words, which are comforting to all of us, Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Life in Jesus. Life in this shepherd who comes. Now, Jesus was having a number of battles within his culture. There were the scribes and the Pharisees who were always, in a sense, against what Jesus was doing. Even when Jesus did wonderful things. Remember, there was a story of a man who was blind. And Jesus worked a miracle. And he regained his sight. And then, of course, the religious authorities were angry with Jesus because he had done, let's say, a good deed. And in a sense, what they did was to excommunicate that man from the temple. That was the authority they had. But they did not understand that Jesus had a greater authority, an authority which came from God. And therefore, if there was an excommunication, they were excommunicated by Jesus, not the man. The man was not excommunicated. The man was brought into the fold. The man was, let's say, a sheep for whom Jesus cared and for whom Jesus offered the best that he could, meaning to make that man whole one more time. But Jesus was also saying something else. And some of this language has become popular in recent days. And you have people arguing as to what does it really mean. Jesus was talking about a new world order. What Jesus was doing was engaging in an activity which pointed to what the new world order would be like. And that new world order was the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, which was in the midst of the people, wherever Jesus went, he was taking with him a movement, and those who believed in him were part of that movement for the transformation of the world. For the transformation of lives. One at a time. Persons being made new. The blind, seeing. The crippled, their health being restored. The sick, being healed. Jesus was doing the work of the kingdom. And Jesus said it succinctly when he said, if you really want to be part of the kingdom of God, you have got to come, in a sense, through me. And Jesus also said, I am the door. And he claimed that he was the way of entry to that new order, that men and women should enter it through him. As I guess the man who had been offered his sight had done, because he believed in Jesus. And not only did he believe in Jesus, he also worshiped Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He revealed the nature of the new order. This man had been received into a new order in which he is the way of entry. And then still in the same realm of ideas, he said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd was the only one able to take charge of the flock. The only one able to take charge of the flock. And this is an Eastern picture different from anything we know in this country. The sheep follow his voice. And that is literally true in the East. If a stranger came along, the sheep would shirk back. They know their shepherd's voice and follow when he calls. He was in charge of them, and it was his work to lead them out of the fold to pasturage in order to the sustenance of their life. Of course, it was also his work to defend them against wolves or against enemies. That was the Eastern shepherd. And somewhere I read that shepherds in England and also in the United States, they tend to go behind their sheep. But shepherds in the East went ahead of their sheep. They led the sheep. If predators were coming, the predators were more likely to get the shepherd But nonetheless, they had a staff which they could use. Whereas in our culture, it's as if the sheep can be prey because the shepherd is at the back. And that is why the story gets more interesting in terms of the work of Shepherd Jesus. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. But not only that, the shepherd does something significant, which is, the shepherd says, I am going to lay down my life for my sheep. And this is important. I am going to lay down my life for my sheep. And I'm going to do this because I have the authority to do it. I am going to give all that I have for my sheep, and all that I have is my body. All that I have is my life, and I am going to give my life for my sheep. You know, there's a sense in which many of us are scared of dying. Well, let me put it another way. Many of us just want to live a long time. A very long time. But there's always that fear, I think, within us that it might be sometimes too soon. And you've probably heard that song, Gone Too Soon. Remember when Michael Jackson died? It was like, gone too soon. Well, let's say that's the culture of the world. We don't go too soon. We go at an appointed hour. And Jesus went at an appointed hour. And Jesus was prepared to die. Let me say something about dying. No relationship can be sustained without fairly regular dying experiences. The single person must die to become united in a relationship or marriage. Dying is all around us. A couple must die to give birth to a family. The family must die to release the children to their own journey into love and growth. The same is true for community. The small group must die to become a community. The community must die to become an organization. And that is why there's loving, and that is why there's compassion, and that is why there's tolerance within the institution we call church. And Paul, in one of his books, he said, I die daily. I die daily. So in other words, there's really nothing wrong with death. There's nothing wrong with dying. Every season of growth, every season of creativity, every season of change or reorientation requires a losing of life in order to save life. In ministry, the call is to die. The church cannot hold on to its own life if it is to be to be Christ's instrument of healing and justice in the world. Rather, the church must die to its own needs, to its own agenda, to its own self-preservation, giving itself for the sake of those around it, or it loses its life and becomes an irrelevant club. But if we embrace our death, following Christ to the cross, we discover true, abundant life as we serve others. And that is why Jesus said, I must lay down my life. I must lay down my life for the sake of the individual who is in need of salvation. I must lay down my life for the sake of a world that, I was going to say, is hell-bent, or a world that is on its way to hell. I must lay down my life so that there can be transformation, whereby there can be this new world order, the kingdom of God breaking into society, breaking into lives, and breaking into the world. And that is why, or one of the reasons why I love Jesus. Jesus did not shirk from that responsibility of going to the hanging tree for the sake of the world. He did it for you, and he did it for me. And he did it with grace and because of grace for you and also for me. He did it to say, if we lose our lives, we will find our lives. In other words, he also said, I'm laying it down. But that's only the beginning. Because in laying the life down, I am also going to take the life on again, because I am going to rise from the dead. The story is not over with Good Friday. Good Friday is like a seed planted in the earth. And Easter is like the season when it is in bloom. And we are part of that Easter story, because we have life in Jesus. We have life in Christ. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. In the Greek, it says something like this. The word is kalos. I am the beautiful. I am the noble. I am true, as well as I am good. It was a word that marked the attributes to all perfection, and they all emerge from and merge in Jesus forevermore. He is the shepherd. True, noble, beautiful, infinite in wonder. This all ends with the first words, I am. I am God manifestly seen and heard, heaven's beloved one. I am King. I am Father. I am the door. I am the vine. I am I am the shepherd. I am true. I don't need a thing. You don't need a thing. God's got you. Thank God. It's just the best location to be. The best arms that can provide you all the comfort for all the circumstances of your life. Amen. When I say I don't want a thing, or I don't need a thing, but then I also have to say, as we will sing, and I do ask you to stand, and we're going to sing, I want Jesus. I don't need a thing, but I want Jesus.